In the first chapter, we delved into the teaching and instruction that Paul dispatches to Titus. And this dispatch was primarily about how to choose leaders. Leaders that were going to help to faithfully dispense the word of God, faithfully lead the body of Christ under the care of this great man of God. This is quite similar to what he instructed Timothy to do. And in the first chapter, it tells us about the role of the key leaders like bishops and elders and stuff like that. And when we come to chapter 2, he continues with that same instruction. But now he's talking about the people within the church family. He says in verse 1, he says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Because as he tells us in chapter 1, a lot of people give themselves to religious mindsets and not the things of the Spirit. And says you need to keep on teaching the Word of God until it becomes sound doctrine in the hearts of the people. "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." In essence, he was saying, don't just say it one time. Keep on saying it until they get it. Until everything about them rings true concerning what God has to say about the subject. Unfortunately, today, so many people do not know what the Word of God has to say on any subject. And so they are easily moved from one opinion to the other. Elijah said to the people of Israel, says, "How long are you going to hold between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal is, serve him." We as God's people need to come to a clear understanding of what it is that we believe and why we believe it. Because we have a world that wants to move us in one direction or the other. And we need to be very aware. And one of the things, and I'm getting close to that point, I'm getting there. Most of us do not know really the true vision of this ministry. And the reason that you don't know is because I have not told you. You know some things. And the reason I don't say it is because I'm not ready yet. And the reason I'm not ready yet is because you have to know, you have to have a sense of what it is that God wants you to do and have the critical mass to do it. Or else you can share certain things and somebody else will start doing it and that's not what they are calling us, and you become a stumbling block to them. But I can tell you this much. The vision that God gave to this work, it's not like any church you know of on this planet. It does not exist. The things that people are doing now, we talked about when we started out very early. What you call mega churches today, what they are doing today, 20 years ago, I kid you not, God had already shown me that. And those who were here in the early days will tell you, well, this is what God said, we're going to do this, 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 but they don't even have a clue. They don't even have 25% of it. But you have to keep on, when you get to that place, you have to start sharing the things that you need so that everybody knows. Now, I am moving you slowly in the direction, but you don't know it. Time after time, I move things, and you don't know it. You don't know that it's been moved strategically. And one day, all of a sudden, oh, so that's what that was about. I didn't know that was what was happening. But you see, you have to keep on saying it at some point until it becomes part of the person. And that's what Paul is talking about here when he talks about sound doctrine. It becomes sound doctrine. There comes a time when you start saying it and saying it and saying it so clearly that everybody knows it. The vision is so clear that he that reads it can run. You understand? That's where God wants to get us to a place where we know that we know that we know that we know that we know. Not only what we believe, but why we believe it. Why do we believe it? It says in verse 2 that the aged man be sober. This is what aged men should be. They should be sober. They should be grave, temperate, sound in faith, sound in charity or love, sound in patience. You know what that means? It means that aged men should not be hotheads. Basically, that's what it's saying. Don't be a hothead. Be calm. Be together. Be gentle. Be a gentleman. Don't be some old man that is doing crazy stuff. Be calm. Then it goes on and says, the aged women likewise should be just as calm, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. They should behave as holy women. And it begins to state some things. It says, not false accusers. Aged women should not be false accusers, you know, rushing to decisions and pointing fingers at this or that and saying things any which way. It says, not given to much wine and teachers of good things. Aged women, mature women, should be good teachers, teachers of good things, people of great character. Why? That they may teach the young women to be sober. They should teach the young men to be sober and to love their husbands. To love their children. Well, is that something that we do today? Mature women bringing other women and mentoring them. This is mentorship. This is mentorship. Mentoring. Helping the younger ones know how to handle their husbands, deal with their husbands, deal with their children, how to carry themselves. Because they've gone through the experience. They know what to do and what not to do to have a wholesome relationship. They know what to say to the young woman when she's getting frustrated with her husband. Well, try this. Do this. Do that. To love their husbands. You know, sometimes people don't love their wives. They don't love their husbands. They love other people's husbands. They love other people's wives. Say, what do you mean? Well, why aren't you like that? Why aren't you like this? Why aren't you like this person? Well, you don't know how that guy got there or how that woman got there. So why don't you mind your own relationship? And if that's what you like, why don't you work at your relationship to make it that kind of a relationship rather than beating each other down and tearing each other down in your relationship? You can do better. It says, mature women should be sober. They should love their husbands. Should love their children. It says, to be discreet. Don't yap your whole story, your life away. Be a discreet person. Be chaste. Keepers at home. Good. Obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Wait a minute. So the word of God, Paul is saying here, if you don't carry yourself properly, the word of God is going to be blasphemed. People are going to say bad things about the word of God. Yesterday there was a debut on a television program. I happened to be hanging around with my daughter and mama and son-in-law or son-in-law, and we're flipping through, and there's this new program that came out that's been, you know, they had it for the Atlanta, they had it for New York, now they had, you know, what is it called now? Housewives of Toronto. Real Housewives. So they were, you know, doing the bio on different ones, and there was one, this lady comes on and she says, I'm a Christian. And I said, and she starts talking about all kinds of stuff, and I told my daughter, I said, you see that one there that just said I'm a Christian? She's going to be the worst one. She said, I think you might be right. And she was the worst one. She was the one doing all the wrong stuff that a Christian should not do. But she's the one who said, I'm a Christian. That is not how you live your Christian life. Just tell people, I'm a Christian, and act crazy. And be the gossip. And be the one that is yapping off constantly, not listening to anybody, doing everything that is improper. Now, I don't know whether that is really a true character or that was a make-believe character, but it tells you how the world perceives so-called believers. And that should not be the way it should be. We should be people of honor. Amen? So that the word of God is not blasphemed. I can guarantee, I don't know how the program is going to go on, and I don't think I'm going to be watching. But I wanted to, you know, this is the first one. I don't have time for those nonsense, but we happen to, let's see what's going to happen. Toronto. Oh, yeah, Toronto. It's finally come here. And wow. It goes on and says, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. Oh, mature men should be sober-minded. Mature women sober-minded. Young men should be sober-minded. What does that tell you? God does not want us to be people that are so loud that will become a nuisance. So be sober. Don't be a confused mind. Be settled. Think through whatever it is that you're doing. Don't just be reacting to things that are happening in life. be calm. He says, be sober-minded. He says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Showing yourself a pattern of good works. Demonstrate that. Let people look at you and make a decision about the goodness of God. Have a pattern about you. Pattern in good works. And then he says, in doctrine, he defines what that pattern of good works is. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness. Don't be a corrupt person. Then it says, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned. Have a full control. Basically, what the Word of God is telling us here is, be a person of good character. Be a person of good character. Don't say you're a Christian and not have character. That he that is of contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So that somebody who is contrary, an unbeliever, somebody who's contrary to the purpose of, they shut their mouths because they have nothing to say. They have nothing to say. The reality is, you don't have to be a Christian to know what good character is. It is inbuilt in us to know what good manners are. It is inbuilt in us to know you don't do this kind of thing. You don't do that. You don't do this. You don't gossip, you know, and tear down your fellow your friends and whatever else, because once you're doing it, you know you're doing something wrong. You don't want anybody to know. Don't tell anybody I told you this. Don't say anything. Shh. Let me tell you a secret. Why are you doing that? Well, because you know something is wrong with it. You don't have to be a Christian. God has inbuilt it inside of us to know what the right thing to do is and what the wrong thing to do is. You know, even a little child, when they're doing something wrong, they know they're doing it wrong. You didn't preach to them. You didn't go, thou should not do this. No, when they're doing something wrong, they're looking at you. Because it's inbuilt. The world knows what is right and what is wrong. The thing is, they cannot honor what is right faithfully because they don't really have the ability because of the presence of sin in their lives. And God says, hey, you are born again. Act differently. So he says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. If you're an employee, do what you're called to do. Be obedient to your own masters and to please them well in all things. Not answering again. Basically, he's saying to us, if you are an employee, learn how to shut your mouth and not start answering back. It's not saying you don't contribute. It's just saying, know when to keep your mouth shut and know when to speak. Carry yourself appropriately. Don't, he says, not polluting. And that means don't steal. Don't rob your employer. Now, let me say this. You see, when you go to work, when you're in the office and you're employed to do a job, you've been paid to do that job. You're not being paid to go read your Bible and preach to your co-workers. That's not what you're being paid. During your break time, that's your time. You can do whatever it is you want to do. But when it's time for you to be working, be working. Now, carry yourself in such a way that your character preaches all through while you've been paid. But you're not called to go do any other thing at that time. Now, having said that, because poloning is stealing, is defrauding your employer. Don't defraud your employer. Now, if somebody is sick and they just fell down and they're dying, they have a heart attack, character says, well, I'm not being paid to save his life, but this is the right thing to do right now. I'm going to give you CPR. If somebody fell down and you need to pray for them, and you pray the prayer of faith for them and bring about restoration to them, that's a different situation. But what we're talking about is just literally, instead of you doing your work, the work that you've been called to do, you start spending the time that the government or the employer is paying you to do a particular job, you start doing it, using it to do something else. Or you're taking stuff from your office that you've not been given. It's not been assigned to you. Well, that is carrying yourself wrongly. Amen? So it's not poloning, but showing all good fidelity. Fidelity, be clear. Be a person that is sincere, a person that is honorable, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things, that they may adorn, in other words, that they may praise God, the doctrine of God. And in this case, it is the doctrine of serving, service, caring, making sure that your employer is experiencing profit. You're doing everything to help that employer succeed. You're not there resisting that employer. You know, some people, they go to work, and rather than find all the good things that is happening in there and how they can help foster it, they spend their time being critical. They come back from work, and everybody's is bad. This person is not working right, and that person is not this, and this person is thinking wrongly, and that person is that, and they complain. You know what? You are stealing the time of that employer. Because you are serving in there as an unhappy person, and you're not being productive. That's what he's talking about. Be productive. Make yourself joyful. See how you can help other people succeed. Don't rob your company. And the same thing in church. Don't rob the church. If God has called you to serve, serve. That's what God expects you to do. Do whatever it is that you're doing in an efficient, honorable manner so that God is glorified. Because ultimately, every one of us with our giftings and our abilities are going to respond back to God. God's going to ask you, what did you do with the gifts that I gave to you? Well, I didn't like the leadership, so I didn't do this, I didn't do that. Really? That's good. So, what did you do to help the leadership become more efficient? Well, I don't think anybody's going to listen to me. Did you talk to somebody and they didn't listen to you? What was your contribution? Anything that we're doing that's not contributing is robbing the whole. Doesn't matter whether you've been paid for it or not. God's called you to service. Serve. Serve. Be faithful at whatever it is God has called you to do. It goes on, it says, this is the reason that this is important. It says, for the grace of God, the ability, the enabling presence and power of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Grace, ability. It's appeared to everyone. And this is what it teaches us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. Wow. Maybe we should spend some time thinking about that word, soberly. Because it keeps on coming up again and again and again and again and again and again. Because it's about us being people of discretion, people that are temperate, people that are have their minds in order. Not confused, not crazy minds. God says, have a sober mind. It's important to keep your mind clear and clean. And not allow things to come in there that will cause it to begin to misinterpret information. Because in your mind, whatever it is you put in your mind, is going to filter or determine your emotions, your actions, your character. If you put unforgiveness in there, you are not going to be a sober person. You know, sometimes we think, okay, you know, being sober means I didn't get drunk. I didn't do drugs. No, that's not all. You can put a lot of junk inside of your spirit and lose that sense of being sober. You want to be sober? Then feed yourself good stuff. Sound doctrine that gets your mind thinking clearly. You cannot be sober being a very bitter, angry person. An unforgiving person, you're not sober-minded. Forget it. And when you're not sober-minded, you're going to act crazy. You're going to miss the mark that God has set before you. You're going to live a life that is dishonoring to God. You're going to cause pain in so many people's lives. It says the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Grace of God. It's appeared to all men. And it's teaching us that we should deny ungodliness. Ungodliness and worldly lust. Worldly desires, worldly pursuits. That's why people cheat. That's why people lie. That's why people are lazy. We need to deny ungodliness, shun that which is ungodly, and shove it off and say, no, you're not going to be part of my life. Says we should live soberly. And we should live righteously and godly in this present world. Wow. Grace. I got grace. That means I can live any which way. No, no. God says, you live godly in this present world. It's not in heaven that you're going to live godly. You live godly now. Grace enables you to live godly now. Amen? To live a corrupt free life now. To live soberly now. Oh, I got grace so I can do whatever it is I want to do. No, that's not what it teaches. It says grace will cause you to do otherwise. to live godly in this present world. Why? Because you're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. That's what you're looking for. You're looking for His appearing. The appearance of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity. From all iniquity. And remember what an iniquity is. It's a predetermined pattern. And it says young men should do certain things that get them in the right pattern. Jesus came to make sure that we're redeemed from that which causes us to start out in a wrong pattern of iniquity. He says, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous. They are zealous of good works. In other words, they are determined, focused, driven to do the right thing. That's what we are as believers. When we are people of character, we are driven to do the right thing. We're committed to doing the right things. We're in the pursuit of doing the right things. We're working towards doing the right things. We're serving faithfully so that the right thing happens. When we're zealous for good works, we pray not just because of our own needs being met, but we pray so that God can use us to meet other people's needs. Amen? Hallelujah. We want to be impacted, but then we want to be the ones that God used to bring also an impartation. I was sharing with the saints in Toronto last Sunday, as I was sharing from a certain passage of scripture. I said to them, win people to you so that you can win them to Christ. Win people to you so you can win them to Christ. In other words, you and I need to pursue following Jesus Christ so that when anybody following us do not stumble, because they see the righteousness of God in us. Amen? Pursue after Him. Become more like Him so that when people see you, they see Christ. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Yeah? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Peter and John at the beautiful gate said to the man at the beautiful gate, look on us. Elijah said to the people of Israel, draw near to me. When that is our pursuit, guess what? You live a godly life. When that's your pursuit, I want people to follow me. You're forced to connect with Him. If you go through life thinking like this, well, nobody's perfect. Guess what? You just already, right there, just messed up the Word of God. The Word of God says, every good, every perfect gift proceeded from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us. In other words, God says, I don't want you coming here and telling me you're not perfect. Be perfect. He says, be holy. Well, what does church tell us today? From how many pulpits are we hearing the word, be perfect, be holy? God has called you to righteousness. God has called you to walk uprightly. Or it's grace. You can do whatever it is you want. It's fine. God has forgiven you. Your past, your present, your future. Sure he has. But he says something. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Then you know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we want to honor God, we've got to look unto the author and the finisher of our faith and recognize when we blow it, that we blew it. Because you see, if you are just going through life, okay, Sarah, Sarah, when you blow it, you just say, well, that is normal. No, that is not normal for you and for me anymore when Jesus becomes sovereign Lord and Savior over our souls. Amen? Yeah? We may fall. Yes, we may fail. But a righteous man falls and he gets back up. And he says, God, I messed up. I receive forgiveness and I receive grace to overcome this issue in my life. He doesn't settle and say, well, I guess that's the way it is. No, it's not. And Paul tells us in the book of Titus, you're saved, you're a believer, then have the character that matches it. Amen? Have the character that matches it. If you mess up, okay, you messed up. But have a character that matches it. Did Paul mess up? Sure he did. Was he critical at times? Sure he did. He was. But he knew when he messed up. And he knew to bounce back. And that's all God is asking us to do. Know when you mess up. Repent. Turn away from your evil ways. Continue with me. You will overcome. Peter denied Jesus. Didn't follow through. Jesus meets him and restores him. Denies him three times. And Jesus comes back and says, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Cancels it all out. And restores him. That's what God wants to do for every one of us. He's not there condemning us and making us feel badly and then stay in a state of defeat. No, he comes alongside of us and he says, you messed up, but I still love you. I still care about you and I can help you make it. And we say, thank you, Lord. And God takes us from there to where he needs to take us. Amen. Praise the Lord.